At this time, we're going to, right now, we're right on schedule. Amen. We're right on schedule. Amen. We're right on schedule. And we'll end for a tree. Anytime, anytime a voice is what? Coming from this pulpit, that voice is going to magnify Christ, magnify grace, his eternal workings. Amen. So right now, without any further ado, we're going to go transition directly into our morning message. And years ago, Deacon Gavin and I were in Bible class. We were kind of teasing each other because, you know, a lot of times churches, ministers kind of fuss over who can preach, right? And I think we had a good conversation. You know what? If one minister esteems the other minister above him or her, and the other minister esteems the other above him or her, guess what? Everybody's covered. And that's what grace does. Grace covers everybody because what? It's all pointing to Christ. At this time, without any further ado, we will go right into our morning message by the speaker of the hour. At this time, let's say amen. We're going to magnify Christ. And we know the message is going to go forth. It's going to be the gospel of the grace of God. Deacon Howard Gavin. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Who is our Father. Amen. Creator. Amen. And he is our Father. Let us have a word of prayer and get right into the business at hand. The righteous and eternal God, our Father. Lord, we again thank you, Lord, for this great gathering this morning. We thank you, Lord, for all present. Lord God, all that are in attendance, not just in our immediate presence, but throughout, Lord God, this earth through the web broadcast. We pray blessing much, Lord, upon each and every one of them according to, Lord, that which you have determined regarding each of thine. And we pray, Lord, your continued blessing, O God, of our pastor and helping and aiding him, O God, and encouraging him and encouraging us by and through him, according to your will, purpose, and word. We thank you, Lord, for all your people present to hear your truth. According to your faithfulness, O God, speak, Lord, we pray, and be thy glorified. Encourage us, Lord, in Jesus' righteous name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Yes, yes, yes. Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. And we are going to look at verses, as we have, verses, we'll take as a context verses 1 through 5, but we will look specifically at verses 3 through 5 and very closely at verse 4. Elder Liverman is our designated reader. We're going to have a lot of reading today, saints. And this will, what I describe through my years of somewhat studying and endeavoring, call a Bible reading. God's people need to know. And what we need to know is the truth for us while we are sojourning through the avenue of time. As was already said, God's people get many a thing mixed up because they're mixing the messages. There is a message. We have a covenant and we abide in a dispensation, a message that's specifically tailored for us. Amen. And it is called the mystery message, which was given to the Apostle Paul by our resurrected and glorified Lord Jesus, and he gave it specifically for his body, which is the Grace Church. If you have Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 1, let's say amen. All right, Elder, if you will, read. King James will be fine.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the first verse.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God,
mm-hmm.
to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Verse 2. Grace to you.
Grace to you.
And peace
from
God our Father.
God our Father.
And from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Blessed the God.
Bless him. High praise to God.
And the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Who hath blessed us.
Yes.
With all spiritual blessings.
Where?
In the heavenlies in Christ.
In the heavenlies in Christ. You see, the word places is italicized, meaning it was added by the translators for so-called clarification. Sometime clarification ensues, sometime it does not. And this is one time it does not. And that is why Elder neglected it. Our blessings are where we are. We are where our blessings are. Our actualized existence is not flesh, it's spirit, and it's in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That is our actual, our true, our eternal abode. Read, Elder.
Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him.
In him.
Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
All right, I know it says should be, but that's a present infinitive being holy right now. And without blame right now in our actualized essence in Christ. Without blame, holy, sanctified, set apart. That's what that word means, that we are separated unto God as his in love.
Having predestinated us.
In love, having predestinated us, we are God's pre-people. Everything regarding us, and actually everything regarding everything, has already been done, finished, completed, as it was determined. Everything is done. All time is for manifestation or testimony or God revealing to us and all creation what he has purposed, what he has done, what he has wrought. Read, finish that, Ella.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children.
Unto the adoption of children, our son positioned us.
By Jesus Christ to himself.
To himself. And what?
According to the good pleasure of his will.
And he was pleased to do it. We have been predestinated in love unto him. I am going to only, I've made it down to page 3. I'm going to only deal with one paragraph. The rest will be scripture that we will deal with today. If you have that document, it's on page 3. I had some sitting in the back. I'm supposing that the usher passed them out. Page 3, they were on the podium in the back. And it's from the document, Election, a God's sovereignty in election to salvation. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Each time I'm before you, I like, as is my usual manner, to open up the title or the subject matter to you. God's sovereignty, sovereignty meaning supreme, ultimate in power or authority, supreme. The ultimate, absolute power or authority. No, the devil only has delegated power. God possesses all absolute power. Sovereignty, God's sovereignty in election, the act or instance of choosing choice. So God sovereignly, supremely, without any input, his authority alone, he made choice of certain ones to salvation. Salvation is our eternal relationship or sonship position in Christ to God. Salvation entails deliverance from sin and its consequences. It also entails preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. In other words, we are safe. Ultimate. I know we go through things in time. God has determined even that. All things are according to God. But ultimate harm, ultimate ruin, and ultimate loss, we are safe or saved from that. Ultimately, we are safe. Now, page 3 that have been passed out, the second paragraph. We are in and directly in the context of verse 4. Verse 4 again reads, according as he hath chosen us, God hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world or before creation, being holy and without blame, without spot and without blemish, before him, before the one whom it counts, in whom it counts, before him, and it's not begrudging, it's in love, before him in love. Amen. Reading from the document, I will read and then I will break away to begin our Bible reading, because in Christendom, God's people have a lot of things mixed up, and we'll get to those in a minute. I'll share them with you. Next, we consider, I'm reading, second paragraph, page 3. Next, we consider the reason God chose us as the elect in Christ before the foundation of the world. Note the Greek phrase, for our being, or to be, it's an infinitive, and we in English usually put to in front of the word, but it gives it a future inference. But it's a present infinitive. So being holy and blameless before him. Here we very carefully, literally translate Enoch and Emar rendered us to be. Not we might be, but being. But as the result of God's choice, choosing us, we are holy. We don't become holy. We don't get holy. God chose us being holy or separated. Sanctified. In other words, his sovereign act of choosing us and thus providing redemption for us in Christ causes us to be absolutely, as God is absolutely sovereign, we are absolutely holy or set apart and blameless before him. Absolutely set apart and blameless. Note the thought being documented is that this is what God determined to do on behalf of his elect before the foundation or creation of the world. Amen. Before the creation of the physical universe, we were holy, positioned in Christ, saved, praise God, and blameless. We became blameless in the decree of God, but it manifests in any blame or discontent, it manifests in our coming into physicality after the creation of the physical coming into us in the flesh, but in our actualized essence, which really covers us completely, in our actualized essence, we are blameless. Now, many of God's people think that or believe that they have to get saved. My friends, we can't and we do not get saved. We are saved because God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before Adam and Eve ate the fruit, we were chosen in Christ blameless. Before Noah started building of the ark, we were chosen in Christ blameless. Before the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage, we were chosen in Christ and blameless. Before the Lord Jesus Christ took on a body and came forth in Bethlehem of Judea, we were blameless. Before creation, before the Emperor Constantine sanctioned Christianity in the Roman Empire, we were blameless. Before the Protestant or Protestant Reformation, wherein the various and several denominations spawned from, we were blameless. And now we have denominations that teaching that we get saved. But dear friends, we don't get saved. Before the creation of the world, we were chosen, picked out, selected in Christ by God, blameless, before Him in love. Now, Ella, turn with me to Romans 9. We're going to back that up scripturally from our gospel. Romans chapter 9. And I believe we're going to begin at verse 10. That we did not get saved, that God saved us, He chose us, and that we are safe and secure in Christ. Now, I said that our subject matter was God's sovereignty in our election to salvation. As an alternate or a subtopic, I would use this. God chose and selected us to our eternal salvation, which cannot be revoked or refuted. What we have been given and called to and elected to cannot be revoked, and it cannot be refuted. Revoked means to put an end to or call back. You might can have license revoked, but our eternal salvation cannot be called back. It cannot be refuted. Refute means to prove to be wrong, false, contradicted, denied, repelled, or rebutted. Make no difference what folks say or think. It cannot be refuted. Contradict means deny the truth by asserting the opposite. Make no difference. We are blameless before Him, the ultimate absolute authority in love. Praise be God. Now, God's people, again, I said, they presume that we get saved or have to bring something to the table, and it varies from denomination to denomination. Some think we have to be baptized. Some think that we have to tarry. Some think we have to keep a certain creed. Some think that we have to be accepted into the church. And the list goes on and on and on. And the certain baptisms vary in whose name you call and the like. But we are going to follow Scripture and let God's Word speak unto us on how we became who we are, the elect, the chosen of God in Christ Jesus. Elder, Begin reading at verse 10 of Romans chapter 9. Now, I'm purposely going to read from the King James Version because that is what, even as this message is going out throughout the earth over the internet, that is what most of God's people are familiar with. But I will be making and calling out certain clarifications so that we don't presume something other than what is originally being put forth in the original Word of God. All right. Elder, begin at verse 10. Romans 9.
Romans chapter 9, beginning with the 10th verse.
10th verse.
And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Verse 11. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand.
According to election would stand or remain.
Not of works.
Not of works. How could they work? They weren't born. The choice was made before they were born. And so with us, God's choice of us was made in eternity before creation. We were chosen in Him before the foundation of creation of the world. We were chosen, picked out, saved by God's decree, His predetermination.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God, the Lord our God, our Father, has preed everything. All we are seeing now is manifestation or testimony of what the Lord has done. Everything is done. One of our ministers, Elder Karen Liverman, spoke from regarding Colossians 2 and 10, I believe, on an occasion. We are having been completed in Him. We are finished in Him. We already abide in eternity in our actualized essence, but our consciousness are in time resonating with physicality. When physicality, our physical part, is over, when it is deceased, what is left is what always was. We are no longer able to resonate in physicality. We resonate with where we actually have been all the time. Or eternally. Eternally. Come on, Ella, let's go.
Amen.
Verse 12.
But of him that called it.
Of him that called it.
It was said unto her.
It was said unto Rebecca.
The elder shall serve the younger.
God said it. The elder shall serve the younger. Read.
As it is written. Jacob have I loved. But Esau have I hated.
He disregarded Esau. He chose Jacob. He chose the shyster and shenaniger. He chose Jacob. He was indifferent toward Esau. That's God's choice, and we're going to see why as we read on in this section. Verse 14, Ella.
What shall we say then?
So what do we say?
Is there unrighteousness with God?
Is there?
God forbid.
It might come up in someone's mind. That's not fair. God is absolutely sovereign. He does what He wants to in His creation and with everything that is His, which is everything, the visible and the invisible. And we have to praise Him for it. Because that's what is. What God has done is what is. What He has said is the way it is.
That's it.
That's it. Thank you, Ella. That's it.
Verse 15. For He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
He's sovereign. Read it. 16.
So then it is not of him that willeth.
It is not of him that tries to will. See, saints, the Lord has to reveal Himself unto us. When we thought that we were getting saved, God simply revealed Himself unto us. and we come to know him, and he established a relationship, a conscious relationship of us with him.
Yes.
We have always been in his presence. We've always been his, but in the created entity of time, we might not have known it until a certain time when the Lord chose to reveal himself unto us.
Yes.
That we do belong to him.
Yes, I hear you.
But our salvation is eternal.
Yes.
Read on, Ella. So then, not of him that willeth.
Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth.
That run hastily so as to accomplish? No, not about that.
But of God that showeth mercy.
It's God's prerogative to show mercy to whomsoever he has will or determined. That's up to God. Now let's look a little further at it. 17, Ella.
Verse 17. But the scripture saith unto Pharaoh.
Brother Gavin said. No, the scripture said unto Pharaoh, what?
Even for the same purpose have I raised thee up.
I raised thee up. Now, I want you to know this. As we are reading, I'm going through the various aorist tenses and perfect tenses. These are not things that God didn't raise Pharaoh up after Pharaoh was born. He had determined that in eternity, the aorist tense and aorist indicatives. Aorist tense is a completed act. In fact, everything is complete.
Amen.
We are only in manifestation mode. As though you would go to your Blu-ray and pop in a disc and watch that which was already made. You don't sit down in the Blu-ray to make the movie. You sit down to watch what was made. To view what was already done. And this is what we're going through now. Pharaoh was raised up in manifestation according to God's eternal decree. God raised him up. All right, read, Elder.
Verse 17.
And why did he raise him up?
Sent to Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee.
I may show my power in thee, and what?
And that my name might be declared throughout all the earth.
And saints of God, that is why everything in the visible creation, everything is for God's glory. Everything is for his glory. Everything is complete, even his glory. We are just going through the processes, amen, of what God has already done through a saying. In Hebrew 11:3, it said, God hath created the ages by a saying. He spoke everything into existence. 18, Ella. Therefore,
hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy.
He have mercy on whomsoever he has determined to have mercy.
And whom he will,
and whom
he hardeneth.
He will he harden. There's a difference between us and the world. There is a divide between the children of God and the world. God has made the difference. Verse 19.
Thou wilt say then unto me.
So then you'll say,
why doth he yet find fault?
If he has done everything and everything is according to him, he have mercy on whom he will he harden, why do he yet find fault? What?
For who hath resisted his will?
Who hath resisted his will? Verse 20.
Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing form?
Shall that form?
Say to him that formed it.
Say to him that formed it, and that's Aris. Everything is done. We're just speaking in manifestation mode here. It's already completed by a saying of God.
Yes.
Him that formed it, what?
Why hast thou made me thus?
Why hast thou made me thus? And 21.
Hath not the potter power over the clay?
He's using an analogy here of the potter and the clay. Have not the potter power over the clay, the right over the clay to do what? Clay of the same lump?
Of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor.
One vessel unto honor.
And another unto dishonor.
And another vessel unto dishonor. There are the elect of God and there are the non-elect of God.
Amen.
The elect of God were made, we were made vessels of honor. We're already glorified. Our consciences have just not resonated in eternality, in spirituality, where we actually abide and are glorified. We are constantly resonating with when I'm going to get up in the morning and the bills. And society and the politics and everything else in physicality. And God has to take us away from vertical viewing through His Word by the agency of the Holy Spirit to resonate with where we actually abide and what's actually ours. Nothing we have in physicality in time will we hold on to and keep. Nobody. Yet,
right.
Ultimately in Christ, we are members of the one body, and the relationships that we enjoy here are not even to be compared with the ultimate of love and goodwill and kindness, as Elder was speaking of, and benevolence that we will experience in our actual home, right. Our actual abode, our actual existence in eternality in Christ Jesus. Read on, Elder.
Verse 22. What if God,
what if the sovereign God,
willing to show wrath, and to make his power known
like he did with Pharaoh,
endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath,
the vessels that were appointed to wrath,
fitted to destruction.
And prepared unto destruction. The non-elect are fitted to wrath and destruction. And we will be able to determine a difference in the mercy and grace of God unto us who are the redeemed. A difference. The non-elect can never be said. Don't go to John 3:16. For God trying to prove that whosoever will can be saved. God has already determined who will be saved. I forget the grammatical connotation there. I just looked at it last night. But not whosoever. God has sovereignly chosen those that are saved. And that language is also from another dispensation and another covenant. We have to look at the precise language of our covenant to determine what is in this dispensation. That was another dispensation that John wrote and another covenant. And even in that one, and no whosoever will is saved. God has determined. He came and he chose 12 disciples. Amen. He chose them. They didn't choose him. Glory to God. What if God, willing to show wrath and to make his power known and do with much long suffering the vessels of wrath that were previously prepared to destruction? That is a perfect tense and the passive voice. They had nothing to do with it. They couldn't do anything about it. We are what we are of God. He is sovereign, and he alone. They were fitted to destruction. And verse 23, Elder.
And that he might make, having made,
air subjunctive. Nothing is going on as we go along, but manifestation. That's it. Manifestation of what the Lord has already accomplished. And that he might make known, having made known by his eternal decree, what?
The riches of his glory. On the vessels of mercy.
Now get this. Get it good. Here it comes. Which what, Elder?
which he has afore prepared, unto glory.
Unto glory, heirs indicative. He has before. That's why in Romans chapter 8, we are already glorified. According to God's decree, we are already glorified. Our consciousness have just not made it with what actually is. We are abiding in time and resonating with the do's and that's in time, primarily. But God takes us away through faith and calls us to take him at his word. We take God at his word in everything. Amen. If you seem to lose something, take God in his word and say all things work together for those loving him. If you seem to gain something, take God at his word and say give him all glory and praise and honor for all things in Christ Jesus. Take him at his word. Glory to God. He has given us his word. He's given us his word. Even in society, there was a time when a person's word meant something. That's diminishing now in the present evil age. But God, who is eternal, who is all righteous, his word is binding. His word is the absoluteness of everything. And he hath afore prepared unto glory. I told you we were God's pre-people. We were his pre-ones. We're not Johnny come latelys. When you thought you were out and done, you just didn't know that the goodness hadn't even begun. Glory to God. Amen. When I was in a cesspool of depravity, still in depravity, but in the gutter of depravity, I didn't know the Lord loved me. He showed me. He came to me and revealed himself unto me that I belong to him. I'll tell you. Thanks of God, you can't jump out of God. You can't fall out of him. You can't sneak out of him. You can't get mad and go out of him. Amen. You belong to him. That's it. That's it. That's it. You're no more good for the world once the Lord revealed himself unto you. And he said, verse 24, Ella, what does verse 24 say? Which he had before, vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. What?
Verse 24, even us.
Even us.
Glory.
Even us. Not them, even us. Even us. Whom? What?
Whom he hath called. Not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles.
In a different covenant, it seemed like it was the Jews only. But we're in the covenant of grace. We're under the dispensation of grace. And friends, it never reverts to law. It never reverts to kingdom. It never reverts to promise as under Abraham. We are under the dispensation of grace. Period. The dispensations... The promises don't jump back and forth between dispensations like some, I'm not saying they are not God's elect, but like some whom the Lord have not given the knowledge and comprehension jump back and forth between dispensations, and all it wreaks is confusion, amen, and uncomforting spirit among God's people. Our gospel is grace. We were saved by grace.
Yes.
Amen. And if our former pastor used to say, if you cannot do by demerit, or that cannot happen by demerit, I forget the actual saying, you cannot lose by demerit what you didn't gain by merit. You cannot do it. All right, Ella, continuing on. Now we're going to a very contentious portion of Scripture that God's people, you hear what I say? God's people run to and hold to and cling to in trying to prove that you get saved, and if you don't do that to stay saved, you're out. No such thing. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, before creation, and we are blameless before him in love. Now, I say it's a Bible reading. If I don't get it all the way through, that's all right. Like someone else that stood up this pulpit, I reserve the right to come back if it's the Lord's will. Amen. Elder and saints, Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. I visited here some time ago, but I want to recapture, recapitulate. Romans chapter 10, beginning verse 5, Elder, and you can read when you have it.
Romans chapter 10, beginning with the fifth verse.
Fifth verse.
For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law.
Moses described the righteousness which is of the law. Mm-hmm.
That the man which doeth those things.
That key word. That the man which doeth. The law is a doing covenant. If ye keep my commandments, then will you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people of the earth. If you. Speaking here of the law, it is a covenant of doing, and it's conditional. It's conditional. Grace is a covenant of what has already been done, and it's unconditional.
That's it.
Verse 6, Ellen.
But
is a conjunction that introduces a contrasting view usually. But the law, the man that lives in them under the law, shall, the man that doeth those things shall live in or by them. But the righteousness which is of what, Elder?
Which is of faith.
Faith.
Speaketh on this wise.
Speaketh on this wise.
Say not in thine heart.
Say not in thine heart.
Who shall this ascend into heaven?
Actually, that word is faithfulness. Faith is a noun. Faithfulness is a noun. But according to the context, the better rendition of that word would be faithfulness. All right.
Verse 7.
Speaking on this wise, say, not your heart. Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to do what?
Bring Christ down
bring
from above.
Christ down. That is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 12. From Deuteronomy, verse 12.
Yes.
Paul is using corroboration
yes.
to bring out a point in our gospel, our contract, which is all grace. He's reaching into another covenant
yes.
and another dispensation to bring out a truth or to clarify a truth unto us.
Amen.
Read out.
Or who shall descend into the deep?
Or who shall descend into the deep?
That is to bring up Christ again
that
from the dead.
To bring up Christ again. We don't need to ascend to heaven. Christ has already come down. We don't need to descend into the deep. He has already been resurrected, showing that our sins have been forgiven, showing, manifesting our sins were forgiven in eternity, just like we were decreed sinners in eternity. We don't have to do that. Verse 8.
What
this is,
saith
this is
it?
The one that... our brethren all around the globe get in the shambles. But what saith it?
The word is nigh thee.
The saying, that word is not logos, is rhema, but that's all right. The word is nigh thee.
Even in thy mouth.
Even in thy mouth. That, go ahead, Ellen.
And in thy heart.
And in thy heart, stop. Good Lord, wonder where I get that from. Stop. The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is a quote from Deuteronomy 30 and 14. And the quote ends within thine heart. It ends right there. Next we have a demonstrative pronoun. Here they got it that. Sometimes is this. And maybe this would have been better inserted right here. A demonstrative pronoun.
Uh-huh.
It's fixing to change or channel into something else. Yeah. The quote has finished. If you think I'm kidding you, look at Deuteronomy 30:14. That's the end of the quote. This, Paul is saying, read Ella. This is
the word of faith.
The word of faithfulness. Yes. Not ours, but Christ's faithfulness.
Yes.
Which means
to show you that he's not in the Old Testament anymore, catch this, these three words here. Which, what else, Ella?
Which we preach.
We preach. Paul was not preaching any other gospel but the gospel of the grace of God.
Oh, my God.
This is the word of faithfulness which we preach.
Yes.
That's right.
It's not our faithfulness.
Amen.
We didn't do it. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world.
That's it.
It is his faithfulness.
Oh, my God.
He's the one that called us and sanctified us.
Yes, Lord.
Set us apart from those that are not his. Made us vessels of mercy instead of vessels of wrath like so many others will manifestly be. All right. We're going to look at what we preach, said Paul. What we preach. The gospel of the grace of God. Verse 9. Go ahead, Ella.
That if thou shalt confess with
if
thy mouth.
Thou may confess having confessed.
Yes, right.
That is an aorist subjunctive.
Right. Yes.
Aorist tense is a completed action. The subjunctive mood is a probability in time whenever you confess. Or you may not confess. The little babe don't confess. The mentally incompetent don't confess. The aborted one don't confess. Doesn't matter. We were chosen in him before creation. Before creation. That if thou may confess, having confessed, if God has not decreed you or chosen you or selected and elected you as his own and determined that you would confess, you will never confess. May confess, having confessed. Our confessions don't put us in the body of Christ. They are determined of God. They are determinants of the Lord. According to what he has determined to manifest. According to his eternal determination. With thy mouth, the Lord Jesus. Read, Ella.
If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart,
and may believe, having believed, listen, I hate to keep going to Philippians, but I'm glad. Philippians 1:29, for it has been given to us, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake.
That's right.
Suffering is a sign of God. If I'm suffering like crazy and my brother's not, see God. We are ultimately all glorified, infinite, that means unlimited glory, unlimited existence in manifestation.
Yes.
In manifestation. We already there in actualization. In manifestation. May believe, having believed. The only way you will believe is God has chosen you as his and determined that you will confess and believe. They don't all have to believe. Again, the baby, the mentally challenged, the aborted one. If they are the elect of God, they do not have to manifest a consent in their mind of believing. We were chosen in him before the creation of the world, being holy or set apart unto him. Vessels of mercy, not vessels of wrath.
Yes.
All right, finish, Ella. Hallelujah. Believe in thine heart.
believe in thy heart
uh-huh.
that God hath raised him from dead,
uh-huh.
thou shalt be saved.
A future indicative. How are you going to have a future fact and it hasn't even manifested yet? It goes to the decree. What God has said determines what is. Everything is in God saying, not in it showing up. It's in God saying. Remember, I believe it was the woman came to Jesus, wanted her daughter healed, I believe it was. And I know another one had a servant like that. Yes, let's use him. He come wanted the Lord to heal his servant. He said, I'll go with you. Servant said, no, I'm not even worthy. You come in my house. Say, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. And that's what Christ did. Told him, graze your faith. Actually, that faith was given. He spoke the word. Everything is in God's word.
Yes,
the Antichrist will appear because of God's word.
Amen.
Time will be no more because of God's word.
Amen.
There will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness because of God's word. He has already spoken it.
Amen.
Even though we haven't seen it, it haven't manifested to us. It already is because of his word.
Amen.
Come on, Ella. Help me try to get through here, Ella. Pump me up fast mode.
Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness.
Unto righteousness, or that is just and right. Uh-huh.
And with the mouth.
With the mouth.
Confession is made unto salvation.
All right. Believeth and confession are both passive voices. That means it's not out of us. We are passive in both of them. The Lord calls us to believe. And he calls us to confess. Read, Ella. Verse 11.
For the scripture saith.
The scripture saith.
Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
No. Oh, glory. Whosoever may believe, having believed. Remember, up in verse 9, aorist subjunctive, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and may believe, having believed in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, same thing here. Whosoever may believe, having believed. Read verse 12, Elder.
Verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek.
Yes.
For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him.
Who are called to call upon him. Passive voice again. Passive voice. We are passive in the matter. If the Lord had never revealed himself to me, I still have gold on front of my teeth. Not that gold on front of your tooth is wrong. But I still have weaved in long hair. As a man. Trying to be something that I wasn't. That's my point. Y'all keep doing whatever you're doing. As long as the Lord leads you to do it. But I'm talking about me. I'd still be out there doing what everybody else doing and trying to look for more to do. If he had not revealed himself unto me. Where we at 13, Elder?
Yes,
13. For whosoever.
Everyone or all. That's what that word is. Everyone or all of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
We were chosen in him. Not them. We were chosen in him. We will call on him if it's his decree for us to do that. For everyone of a kind or all call that may call, having called. What?
On the name of the Lord.
The name of the Lord.
Shall be saved.
Shall be saved. Another future indicative, even though it hasn't shown up yet, and it's in the passive voice. It is tied to God's decree. What God has decreed, it manifests. It's going to manifest according to God's decree. If he has decreed that we call upon him, just a matter of when he is designed for it to manifest. That's all it is. Read, Elder. Now we get down to more territory where the church world has gone awry. Verse 14, Elder.
How then, verse 14, how then shall they call on him?
How shall they call on him?
In whom they have not believed.
In whom they have not believed. We have an aorist indicative. You can't believe unless it was decreed for you to believe.
Amen.
How are you going to call on him in whom God have not determined in his decree for you to believe in him? No, you won't. No, you never will. The others cannot call from their inner being or their spirit being. They cannot because they were not chosen to that end. They might call in ridicule or speak in some ridicule of your faith, but not actually, because it hasn't been actualized unto them in God's decree. It hasn't brought into being by his decree. And what, Elder? How shall they believe?
And how shall they hear without a preacher?
How shall they hear?
Believe in.
How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard?
And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Again, aorist indicative. If you're going to hear,
amen,
and believe, it has to be decreed unto you. That is the only way. You got vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy, which we are. God have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will, he has hardened. It's already determined. So when you go out soul winning, as we used to call it, or whatever, looking for people to testify to, don't get in a gander when nobody seemed to hear you. It'd be like the Lord told the Apostle Paul at those affluent Corinthians.
Yeah.
Go and speak and don't hold your peace, for I have much people in that city. We can't predetermine who belongs to the Lord. And the Lord placed Paul in testimony in Scripture in his previous as Saul, killing Christians, killing those that call on the name of the Lord, causing them to blaspheme or speak evil of the name of the Lord, so that we can see that we can't judge who don't belong to the Lord.
That's right.
And that the worst of the worst, as we view, as we might view, could very well be the Lord's. And I do mean anyone. Paul's specific task was to wreak havoc and tear down the name of Jesus, and in doing so, those that believe in him. And didn't know all the time that he not only belonged to him, he was an apostle. Hallelujah. You think when I went to the sewing lady, I knew that I belonged to the Lord? I just took me some hair there. Put it in. I didn't know it. I didn't know it. Praise God. Come on, Elder, let's finish it up. We're almost there.
Verse 15.
15.
And how shall they preach except they be sent?
Sent.
As it is written.
It has been and is written, and passive voices here.
How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Of good things. And here's 16, another point of contention. 16, 17, we'll be through.
Verse 16.
Uh-huh.
But they have not all obeyed the gospel.
Uh-huh.
But Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?
If they don't believe it, it's because it was decreed for them not to believe it. If we believe it and we do, it's decreed for us to believe it. Both are aorist indicatives. They didn't believe because they were determined in God's eternal decree, you're not mine. That's why I went through all of Romans 9 to show that there's a difference, a separation between us and them, between what manifests and what God has eternally decreed. There is a difference. Who have believed our report? And so, verse 17, Elder.
Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing.
Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing by the word of God.
And your hearing is not up to us. It's heirs indicative. We hear because we were eternally decreed to hear and caused to hear. We believe because we were eternally caused to believe. Before we got, this was done before we got in any denomination, before the Protestants left the then church of the world, before every and anything, before Adam and Eve in the garden, before the creation sequence, which was actually through a saying. Genesis just put it sequentially for our assimilation. Saints of God, we're blessed. Amen. We're all blessed. This is why we have to exegete the scriptures to know who we truly are.
Thank God.
Your salvation cannot be revoked.
Amen.
Nor refuted. God, the ultimate authority, has positioned us in Christ. We were chosen in Him before the creation of the world, being holy and without blame before Him in love. God bless you.
Thank God. Come on, give the Lord another hand, church. Amen.